Hey everyone, it's Raina. I am just popping on here to let you guys know that we were really hoping to kick season four off with a real big bang, and our children made it so that we have to air an older episode that has never seen the light of day. So old that it was actually recorded back in July of 2004. Between a child getting their tonsils out, another one having a severe allergic reaction, and just general life slapping us in the face, we are going to air this, and we promise to get back to the regularly scheduled, not old, content as quickly as we can. We appreciate you guys listening, loving us, and understanding that we are moms first and just trying to survive out here. So cheers to 2026. Better things to come. But for now, here is a throwback to a watch party that we did. We're going to air the second episode of this next week, and we hope you guys love it. Meg, did you know that a good husband is like a bra?
Oh, no.
He should be supportive and help support your burdens, but mostly he's just there to touch your boobs.
I mean, that's a good one. That's a pretty good one. That's a good one.
I
just had a piece of the cheese from that charcuterie board you put out, and holy shit, that was good. Where is it from again?
It is from Bomb Charcuterie, which is located in Sumner, Washington.
And that wasn't even for like an ad placement. I just really like that. It was so freaking good.
I mean, I'll throw her name out there. I did. She participated in my cocktail book that I did. She made, her recipe was a dirty martini, which is like, had me at hello. That is my life. I love a dirty martini. And I went down to give her a cocktail book, and she gave me two of these little mini charcuterie packs.
Cute.
And they're freaking adorable.
Like, so I would just eat that for lunch.
Oh, so would I. Uh-huh. Like 1,000%. Like with a little brie wheel in there. But we're doing our watch party today. So
yeah,
it's like
we
busted it out and we're like, it's Sunday afternoon.
No kids.
Zero children.
Well, mine are at home, but
and two of mine are at summer camp and the other one's at my mom's house.
There you
go. I was like, let's watch something scary and have a couple beverginos.
I mean, it is broad daylight.
I'm not gonna lie, I need it to be broad daylight to watch.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to Lunatic Soup, the podcast where we go into all things wild, weird, and unknown. We're your host, Meg.
And I'm Raina, ready to brew up some Lunatic Soup.
Let's go. Drinking today.
So today we are not doing a cider right now, you guys. We're being a little.
I've been weird with ciders. Like, I love my ciders, but like, I haven't been drinking ciders at all. I mean, this summer I haven't really been drinking that much, which is fine. I don't drink a lot when it's hot out.
Right. It's
more
hard
of
to
a
do.
Cozy, cool weather.
I mean, I drink plenty in the summertime, probably more. So, well, I don't know. It just depends. I drank a cider yesterday with my mother from the Canadian ones. We sat on the
those
back.
Those were so good.
Yeah, on our
those
back
were
patio.
Good. We did that at the market.
Yes, we had one of those. No, we didn't. We didn't drink that at the market. Just
after
kidding.
The market.
Yeah, after,
it was after
right?
the market.
Not in coffee cups.
No.
We would never.
No. It was after the market.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Because your mom came down, brought the cider, so it was great.
No. Anyways, so today we are drinking, I got this from a local company here in Washington called Alpenglow Cocktail Company, and it is a ginger pear daiquiri
mix. The ginger is out
so
of
good.
This world.
So we did two shots of lemon vodka, like citrus vodka from Absolut. And then we did two shots of this, and then we did ginger beer and a little bit of lemon juice.
Yeah.
And it is, you guys, it is like,
it's a really good, it is a good
if you are
drink.
A fan of pear and ginger. But anyways, they have a website you can go to, but it's Alpenglow Cocktail Company. They do the pre-mixed like cocktail juices. So then you just add alcohol.
You just add what you
and
want.
Anything else. But I tried a bunch of their stuff at a market that I went to, and it was freaking bomb. And they're very clean ingredients, which is nice when you're drinking alcohol. You don't need all the...
10 out of 10.
We don't need more sugar in our lives.
Mm-mm.
I like
we
sugar.
Do need more of those olives and cheese.
We do. But, it's fine.
You know.
What are we watching today, Megan?
We are watching... It is a series of documentaries. They're about an hour, hour and a half each, but we are starting with number one, The Blackwell Ghosts. And the description is, a filmmaker tries to prove that ghosts are real, but soon regrets his intentions after he finds himself being terrorized in a haunted house by a ghost with a dark past. This authentic documentary that shows... ... press the more button. Thank you, sir. And actual ghost footage that was captured on camera.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do-do-do.
So I've seen this on TikTok a lot about this documentary.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily what it's about, but I also know that Mr. Boo Boo watched it.
And it shook him.
And he came upstairs. Like, he was watching it by himself downstairs, and he came upstairs, and I was in bed, and he was like, babe, I'm not okay. I'm like, what the hell? So I've been wanting to watch it, but not watch it. There's a reason it's daytime we're watching it.
I'm excited to watch it. Okay. If you guys have any documentaries you want us to watch, because it was kind of difficult to actually settle on one, like find one that we thought was good enough. We saw a lot of reviews saying that Demon House was a scary one. I didn't think Demon House was scary at all.
No, I didn't either. But I don't know if it's because we were laughing at Dildo Baggins the whole time or not.
It could be that. He's the brevity of this show.
Yeah, he really is. But, you know. But so we're excited to get this one going. So, all right.
Without further ado, we're going to do this like we did the last one. We'll watch a little bit, explain what we just watched and talk about it. And, yeah, we will give you a play-by-play.
All right. Here we are, the Blackwell Ghost Watch Party.
Dun, dun, dun.
Presented by Lunatic Soup.
So right off the bat, this guy does zombie movies, which is Raina's absolute favorite.
I am a negative on the zombie movies, you guys. It's a negative.
Just wait till you have some of the episodes I'm writing.
So he is now saying that he's out there to prove that ghosts exist.
Okay. So we're starting out. We have filmmaker Turner Clay, who does a lot of, like, he does zombie movies.
Yeah.
That's the thing he does.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, he was, like, the producer or director for zombie movies. Yeah. That was his, like, cinematography, filmmaker, or whatever.
Yeah. But he's wants something a little different. He sees this video that we just watched. It's at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some screaming coming out of a room. We're seeing the security footage, which, granted, is not that great.
Yeah, but you can still hear it. Yeah, and in the room, they're screaming and banging. But, like, loud screaming where it sounds like someone's being murdered.
And you can hear it in the security.
Mm-hmm.
The security. And they have the guy, the hotel sends somebody up to go check it out. And you can hear the people from just the desk being like, no, we got to call the police. Let's not go in there. We got to call the police.
Yeah.
He goes in, and right when he goes in, you see shadow, not even a shadow. It's like a mist. It's like a white mist walk out of the room.
It's like almost like a white cloud. I would say it's see-through, but it's in a human shape, like, and it walks out of the room after he walks in.
I mean, clear as day. There's no squinting. There's no.
No, and like
you
I can
see
tell,
it.
It's, yeah, and it's very like, you know, obviously, you know, some people believe in these kinds of things. Some people don't. To me, that looks very legit. That's not something that is like how it's done. It would be very difficult to emulate unless you're like.
Unless you are making
Hollywood,
an actual, yeah.
But you have to have the money of Hollywood. You have to have, like, the ability to have a high-end, like, CGI situation or something like that, which this was just a security camera that, like, footage, and this made him believe in ghosts.
No, I don't think it made him believe in ghosts. I think it made him curious.
Or curious. So he said that then he set out to
talk to this guy.
Well, no, well, he said before this, he set out to, prove that ghosts are real.
Yes.
And then he said that you can, like, the part that I thought was cool, he's like, you can find them if you know where to look.
Dun, dun, dun.
He was like, you can find them in, like, a dark corner of your house, in a turned off TV in the reflection, and a thing. It was just very, like, I loved that because it's true. Like, you can find them anywhere.
You just have to know where to look. You got
to
know where to look. Okay.
So now what's he doing?
Well, now there's a street and there's a very beautiful doggy.
That's a cat.
I don't think that's a cat.
That's a cat.
Is that a cat?
That's a cat. Megan.
There's an animal.
Look at the fluffy tail. That's a cat.
Dogs can have fluffy tails.
Okay,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, my dog has a fluffy tail, but that's a fucking cat.
All right. An animal.
It's a cat.
And it's a beautiful fallscape street.
And now, so he's going
into... We'll see
into,
what he's doing.
Yeah. Who knows?
Go ahead. All right. So he... Clay? Or is it Turner or Clay?
I think it's Clay Turner. Yeah.
Clay Turner. I had it up. No, it's Turner Clay.
Oh, it's Turner Clay. Well, Turner.
All right. So Turner calls the guy that is responsible for this video that we just talked about.
Yes.
And basically says, okay, I'm doing this documentary. You'd save me a lot of time if you just, I think it's fake. Can you just tell me?
Like verify if it's fake or not.
Yeah. And what does he say?
He says, I can tell you. And they have a mutual friend, sounds like.
They had a mutual friend from Facebook, I think he said.
Yeah. And he said, I do not have the abilities. I am not technologically savvy enough to create this. And he's like, of course, the public says it's fake. Everyone says it's fake. He's like, it is raw footage. I can send you the raw video file. You can have it analyzed. He's like, it's not fake.
And I understand that because I am not technologically savvy.
Yeah.
I could never pull off something
that. And that's pretty, like I said, that's pretty advanced to pull off. It would take a lot. You would have to have
I think you could pull off something like that.
I could pull off a sleight of hand or something in a video, but not to that.
Not
to that extent, because that would, like, to make it actually be a see-through, like, that's what I'm saying. It would have to be Hollywood CGI to make it. so that it didn't distort, because you can see through it. It like for it to not to distort the background, to not there's so many things.
And I think
also
you'd have to make it look like security footage too. You couldn't just do it in regular. I think it would be easier to do it just in regular. And I'm talking out of my ass here. It's been a long time since I've done anything film related. But I would think it would be easier to put an image like that just on regular footage. Regular recording than on the security footage.
I mean, it's all at the end of the day a filter. So, like, you take a piece of video and you can literally do layers of things on it. And so, like, to me, it doesn't make a difference which thing it is. It's the making that actual apparition, which is this see-through white thing, come out the way that it did. Is that I like I said, you would have to have very advanced. Like video editing equipment, like extremely advanced in my professional. It's something that I would love to get my sister's opinion on because she is a videographer
she actually
does that. But I think she would say the same, that to be able to do that at that capacity is pretty, like, it's pretty,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. Okay. So it says now 3 weeks later. So now we're going into, he's going
to
start his own investigation.
He couldn't debunk.
Couldn't debunk. And I think he was pretty sold with what this guy, I mean, as sold as he could be.
Yeah.
And he, you know, went in saying, I don't think this is real. So fucking changed my mind pretty much.
And I think that's the way to go into these things.
That's what we always say, going with the doubt first. Okay, so it went from 3 weeks later, and then he's sitting in his car, and basically the other guy who was going to do the documentary with him bailed because he had another something he was going to do.
He had a new job and he did not want this following him.
Yeah. And so his friend backed out, and the guy, like Turner, is sitting in his car and he's like, well, I guess I'm not doing this anymore. I'll go back to making zombie movies or something. And it cuts.
Yeah.
Then it says 2 years later, and it cuts to him in his basement, and he brings the camera back out and he's like, well, guys, I'm restarting this adventure and I have something exciting to show you.
Right. And then he said that he put out there, like, show me your ghost footage. And he got a ton of stuff. Most of it, in his words, was just bullshit until this one video. So he shows the video and basically a light turns on and off. And we're sitting here. Oh, couldn't that be Alexa? I don't know what year this was.
Yeah,
it could have been before.
But anyway, could have been someone in a different room. Like, so many things.
Yeah. And then he goes, well, watch it again. And then when you look next to the light, it wasn't the light turning on and off. It was that same white mist figure.
It's a see-through.
That walked across the
room. I do think that's what people think of when they think they see ghosts in a way, is like the white. It's almost, you know, it's white, a white sheet going over. It's a see-through white entity that's like walking across.
That's like a humanoid shape.
Yeah, humanoid shape. So he catches that and he stops it and he's like, you know, I know some of you guys are like, this isn't real, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, but I'm making a ghost documentary and to me, it's good enough.
And so it would be exciting for us too.
It would be very exciting if we caught that. So anyway, so now he's calling the guy and trying to go to the house to see if he can investigate.
Man, oh man, oh man.
All right, so
this turned into something I guess I wasn't expecting.
So Turner hops in his little Cessna plane that he owns and flies to, did we determine where it
was? Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania from Kentucky, I think he was in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And with his wife to go meet Greg, who is the owner of this house that he wants to investigate.
Hang on.
I know. I just go and I'm going to tell you this in a minute. So that's
noticing something.
Yes. And that's why I decided to look up, because I was like, I want to know this guy's name for talking. And then I pulled it and then I started.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. So just talking about this and then I'm going to explain.
Okay. I'm noting a name discrepancy here.
Yeah.
So
we paused it. And so it shows the cast on the screen. And Meg is noticing a name discrepancy that I had Googled something and figured out while in between this, and we're going to tell the rest of this and then I'll explain.
Okay, so Turner and his wife, they go up to Pennsylvania, they come to the house, the guy answers the door.
Greg,
allegedly, answers the door, says, come on in, says he's lived in the house for over 50 years, given his age, let's say he moved into the house as a teenager. Turner asks, has anybody died in this house? He says, well, yeah, my dad died in this house. He fell down the stairs.
And broke his neck.
Snapped his neck, just like that.
Yeah.
And then 8 years before this, his mother died in the house, which was surprising because she was extremely healthy. She had just gone to the doctor, said, you're incredibly healthy. Your heart is incredibly healthy. The next day, she had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Then he said, I wonder if it was the shock of seeing something, that's a red flag for me because
Turner who said it.
Greg.
Okay, yeah, Greg.
And like, I could see if you're the child of somebody, but to bring it up in the documentary, I'm like, that's kind of
it
planting,
was bizarre.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So then Greg gives them a little tour of the house. They go upstairs. He says that they kind of stay out of his bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And then talks about how every night he hears them coming up the stairs and he walks up the stairs, which I even said to you, this seems a little scripted because he's walking up the stairs to show him the sound. And then he says, I'm going to show you something, but you have to promise not to run out. And they go, where, Raina?
They go to the basement, you guys.
And what do they find?
They find a fucking well.
Why is it always a well?
We have done so many episodes where places are super haunted and they have a well. And so it's something where I just looked at Meg and I was like, we need to find out what the correlation is with wells and like haunted places. But I think like my initial thought is it's because people throw things down there.
We were talking about it's always the basement, and Tex brought up that it could have to do with like the earth. Like we're always talking mm-hmm. about like the stone because it's, you know,
it absorbs the
earth,
energy,
blah, blah, blah.
Which was like, that is a good point. Like why basements are, because it is like the closest or under a house or it's the closest to the
I mean, I was terrified of my basement as a kid. Yeah. We had a huge basement as a kid and But then what's the story of the well?
That there was a crazy lady who used to live in the house and she would kidnap kids, chop them up, and throw them down.
Well, kids started going missing.
Yeah.
And so the story was that they, at first he told it as though it was fact, because I audibly gasped.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
He's like, well, turns out they were chopping up the kids and throwing them down this well. And then he says, well, there was no evidence to this, blah, blah, blah. I'm still not convinced of this.
Well, I'm going to unconvince you more.
But I did say... Oh, no, you're going to unconvince me more. I did say I like this Turner Clay guy.
We both really like him.
And I like he's a straight shooter.
I feel like he's a no BS guy. And he reminds us of us and how we would go through an investigation. Also, just as like, just he seems like a chill dude. Like, I don't know.
But tell me, Raina, why when we pause it and it comes up with who's in the scene, why does Greg say Sonny Burnett?
Burnett. Well, you see, Megan. So I Googled this documentary, and it went to cast and it said the same thing. It said Sonny Burnett and Greg. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, the fuck? Like, what the hell? Like that.
Right.
So then I click on his name and he has an IMDb, sorry. AKA like an actor's program.
Right, right.
So he did say in this that he composes, like he had a room that in there that where he had a keyboard and all of that.
Yep.
So I will also say that in reading this is his mini bio on this thing, and it says it was self-written, which makes me think that it could be, like, elaborated to an extent. But it says, he's an actor, musician. Sonny Burnett has been involved with the entertainment industry his entire professional life. As a musician, he has worked with Bob Hope, Jerry Lewis, Red Skelton, Ed McMahon, The Temptations, The Four Tops, Lou Rawls, Andre Crouch, Amy Grant, and many other greats.
That's a pretty good resume.
Uh-huh. For almost a decade, he worked as a music studio musician for national television broadcaster, wrote comedy sketches, and was twice featured as a guest chef. In recent years, he has expanded his professional profile activities to include film acting and has made an appearance in True TV's Missing Persons Unit, CMT's Mabe in America. I think it's supposed to say Made in America. I don't know. And SoapNet's Southern Bells, Louisville, as well as a dozen of independent films.
Okay.
Dependable, hardworking, great attitude, best performance when chocolate-covered donuts are on set.
I mean, same.
So this guy's an actor. So this is where I wonder, this is where this comes in, is because he's known as Greg in this thing. Is he going by the name, a stage name for this because he doesn't want this to follow his career?
Like, could be
this is his real life. Could be that they hired him because this house, the actual people who owned it did not want to have anything to do, but said he could go in and do it. And
but that also kind of discredits flow of the show.
So then I also went down the rabbit hole on Reddit of like proof of this not being real, of like questioning it. And a lot of it were people being like, it is real. Like it was a very like a lot. Like obviously certain people were saying, obviously everyone's going to doubt things. But a lot of people were like, no, it's definitely real. Like they had different theories on why this was going on, like as do we. So I don't know. It's something that I think that we can research and see at the end, but it was a red flag for both of us.
Well, as soon as I saw that name, I'm like, hold up.
But this whole time, like, as we're watching it, I was on my phone and I was like, I know Meg's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I swear to God, I'm doing something for this. I swear to God, I'm not just being obnoxious.
All right.
And that's what I did.
All right. Let's continue.
Let's go. All right. So we left off. they left the house, and then the guy gets a like message from the owner of the house, Greg, on Facebook that says,
shocking.
Yeah. Kind of, well, it seems a little scripted, but anything in a documentary is going to have to be scripted to some extent. Like,
right.
You can't just go out there and like not have a storyline or willy-nilly. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. there has to be some kind of whatever. Obviously, this whole thing is about him investigating this haunted house. So these right. kinds of moments would probably have to be documented, but this part does seem a little, I don't know, questionable.
Yeah.
Anywho, he says, I'm going out of town for 2 months. Would you guys like to come stay here? And they're like, of course. And apparently we're leaving tomorrow. So they're going for 3 days.
So they come to the house. You pointed out he's gone for 2 months, but there's fresh flowers in the kitchen.
Yeah, there are fresh flowers on the kitchen counter. So, you know, I don't know. I just say that. I was like, man, would they really?
But he's going through the house. They go down to the basement. He goes to his wife. He goes, did you hear what he said? You weren't here. You would have said that to her. You had a 3-hour plane ride back to Kentucky.
And you didn't discuss that there were bodies being thrown in the well.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'd be the first thing. Like, I'd be texting you from the basement.
We would walk.
Brenna, guess what?
We would walk out of the house and be like, fucking bodies in a well.
I mean, is it surprising?
And children's bodies.
That's the bad part. All bodies.
All bodies.
But
no, children. That's really fucked up. Anyway, so now he's just setting up cameras. He's setting up different things, trying to capture what is going on.
Can we discuss the toilet paper?
Yeah.
He goes, well, if you do ghost hunting, this is what you do. I have never heard of this before.
And your mother-in-law is a professional paranormal investigator.
So you take toilet paper and you put it in an X shape on a counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put like a kid's like ball.
Mm-hmm. In the middle.
In the middle.
Yeah.
And he goes, ghosts are like boys. If there's a ball, they're going to kick it.
So stupid. So Betty, if you're listening, apparently you need some toilet paper and a ball.
That's it. That's all you need. Done.
Maybe we'll try that on our next investigation.
We'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, all right, we'll get back to it.
Yeah. All right. I made it through day one. Night mm-hmm. one, day one.
The only thing that it showed, it did show the same camera that the original like video was sent that made this guy intrigued about the house. The security camera is still set up on the fireplace, which recorded mm-hmm. this light that went on and off which is what got Turner to come out and make this film.
And the light did go on.
Mm-hmm. And so
it didn't give it a timestamp though. So did it go on at the same time?
Yeah.
That have been.
And also he made a point of saying he got access to the home security's
mm-hmm.
like thing through an app, which does make sense because it is one of those Wyze like WYZE camera,
yeah.
Which I'm like, okay. Because at first I was kind of like, that's weird that he's using the same camera. But anyways, so a light turned on and off, but that was all that happened the first night. And
the most disturbing part. No,
I was about to say that.
The most disturbing part was him shoving a camera in his wife's face to wake her up and asking her to go make coffee.
Yeah, that was fucking offensive. What would happen to you, Mr. Boo Boo, if I did that? Or if
go,
you did that
go
to
make
me,
your own
I mean.
Fucking coffee.
Yeah.
It
would be a murder mystery. Because Earl had to die. If you know, you know. Anyways, so then when he comes downstairs after making his wife make him coffee, she yells from downstairs to him saying, like, did you open the basement door? And he's like, what are you talking about? No. So they look at the basement door. It is open.
But there were no cameras on the basement
door.
Yeah,
but and Meg said it. Meg's like, why did you not put cameras on the basement door, which is like the haunted
center
area of it. Rude. But they mess with the door to see like if it actually was shut properly. It couldn't just come open from the wind. It's a heavy wooden door with like old as
it's got a latch.
Yeah. If it was just propped, it looks like it would have opened no matter what. So they would have seen it open before they went to bed. Who knows? And then they go downstairs to set up more cameras or to look at stuff.
And at first
they go to the basement.
Yeah, the basement. At first you think you hear footsteps up above, but it could be anything. The wife is like, the house, it's an old house, blah, blah, blah. But then you definitely mm-hmm. hear footsteps from up above.
And it is a very, like, obviously, you know, we're going to pick it apart a little bit. Could have been someone who's there with them, making the noises.
Mm-hmm.
The thing to me that was interesting was, like, how it went, it almost, like, sounded like it faded. Like, it went from heavy mm-hmm. to, like, then disappeared. Which, again, maybe they're, like, really fucking skilled. He's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
I mean, he
knows how to make horror movies. Yeah, he's been doing
it. So it could be a number of things, but it was...
And he makes, like, zombie movies, which are kind of like B-movies. So they have to get creative with how they make those.
Yeah, because no one's going to watch that shit. No one likes zombies.
I mean, I would.
Shut the fuck up. We don't like zombies.
Have you seen the movie Them?
No. They're is it zombies?
No, they're giant ants from outer space.
No, and no thank you. I do not want to watch them.
I used to watch it with my dad all the time.
Oh, so it's like an old, old movie too. Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's like probably real good, real great.
Or Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Have you seen that one?
Can't say that I have. Cannot say that I have, Megan.
Well, October's coming.
Yay for us. All right. Now it's showing a timestamp of 1:27 a.m. And this is their second night, which is their last night, apparently.
Yeah. So I guess it's 2 nights, 3 days. Uh-huh. But so far, like, not a lot has happened. I mean, there's been some stuff, but.
Well, and Mr. Boo Boo just said that the part that made him come up to me was the part where you heard the footsteps upstairs, which then I was like, oh, okay. So nothing scary has really happened thus far. I'm like, he must have been having one of his garden gummies made him all excited. He says it's different when you're by yourself in the dark, which I could see that.
No, he said the dark.
The dark. I could see that because we are literally daytime.
It is.
Well, it's 7 p.m. now.
7 p.m., but yeah. It is Washington.
Fully light
so
outside.
It is
so.
Bright blue skies.
But like I said, I needed it to be like this to watch this because I cannot do the pitch black. It's not me.
Well, we're going to because there's like 8 parts to this thing.
Yeah, we're not doing them all tonight, Meg.
No boat. Winter is coming.
All right, back to the show.
Okay, shit's getting real over here.
Yeah, so it was 1:23 a.m. on the night two, and all of a sudden you hear footsteps. Is
first
what
it
started.
Was footsteps. Like, it showed a camera of the hall, and you hear the clunk, clunk, clunk. Like, it's old wooden staircase.
Yeah, and you hear that, and then it goes to the room they're staying in, which he has a video in, recording, obviously, and they're in bed, and it all of a sudden there's this really loud, like,
Slam.
Yeah.
Like, it's very loud. Yeah, it's very forceful.
It gave Meg a little bit of a jump scare. Meg was like, oh, God. I mean, it scared me too. I'm not going to lie. But I just didn't jump as much as you. And then they obviously wake up and they're like, what the hell? And then all of a sudden the smoke alarm goes off. Mm-hmm. And so he jumps out of bed, grabs his camera, tells his wife to stay there, and he opens the door. And the hallway and the stairwell is filled with smoke.
Now, I feel like if we were just watching this just to watch it, we wouldn't be as critical here.
Not at all. But, we're critical because
that's what we do.
So
he goes down the stairs. He has his camera. He tells his wife to call the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's filming. You said, why is he taking the time to film? If it's so full with smoke, wouldn't you say, okay, we got to get out of the house?
Because
like,
it was a lot of smoke.
It was a lot of smoke.
A lot of smoke. And you would not be taking your time to film things if that...
And
if
he was going pretty slow.
Yeah, and you... Because when he gets to the bottom of the stairs, that's where the basement door is.
The door is wide open.
But instead of him just, like, slamming it shut, running past it, like, acknowledging, okay, that was open, that's fucked up, and figuring out where the fire is coming from, trying to put it out while he's staying in someone else's home, he pauses.
He was like, what the?
Observes.
And there's
still
smoke billowing. And he closes the door and goes into the kitchen. This part confused me a little bit, though.
A lot.
So the smoke is coming from the kitchen, and the oven is on. And you can see, like, the tin foil at the bottom of the oven. Mm-hmm. And then he turns, like, the light off of his camera, and you can see the burners. It's like a glass cooktop.
Yeah, it's a glass.
And the coil burners are on.
Every single one is on. And so then he turns them all off.
Yeah. Tex has a point that if there was like grease or something in the oven, it would cause smoke. But that much smoke? This is somebody. I set the smoke alarm off at least twice a week when
I'm
cooking.
You revealed something to me that is the same thing that happens in my house, is that whenever the smoke alarm goes off, all the kids yell, Mama's cooking again. And it's like the standard thing, but which happens a lot. But I can tell you that from a person who has dripped lots of fat and stuff on the bottom of
pretty
the
sure
oven.
There's like a noodle and a french fry at the bottom of my oven right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the amount that it would take to smoke our whole
the
house
whole
out.
House
the whole house
up
out.
Up the stairs. Because it's an old house. There's lots of small rooms. The kitchen is at one end.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through the kitchen, through the hallway, and then turn and go up the stairs.
The amount of smoke was insane, which also is something that I'm like, okay, then if he's making the film, like, how did he get that much smoke? But again, he's a filmmaker. He could have done it.
Right.
I don't know. But it was a lot of smoke. And I don't think the oven honestly could have produced that much smoke. I have burnt so many things.
Yeah.
I've done so many things. To fill a house with smoke is quite, you have to really do something significant.
I've filled the downstairs with smoke.
So have I.
It's never traveled up the stairs.
Same.
And mine is a clearer shot
to the upstairs.
To go upstairs than this is.
Yeah, agreed. So that's questionable. But you know what, guys?
It's still like we were
this
just
is a
saying.
Great, don't get me wrong. This is a, yeah, great, it's a great show. I mean, I'm actually loving this.
And also, we're saying like if this wasn't like what our line of work is, we would not be as critical, obviously, and yeah, we would just be enjoying it a little bit more. But I feel like part of our thing is like debunking the bullshit that people put out there, because it's what makes people not believe when people actually experience stuff.
Yes, love the documentary, love the filmmaker, love his wife, which I accidentally Googled and
she died.
She's actually passed away from cancer, which really sucks. But yeah, all in all, still really good.
Really good. Definitely be watch this if you
like
want to.
There's 8 parts to it. So buckle up. Yeah. Hold on
but
to
they're
your
all
butts.
Different houses.
Are they? I haven't looked
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, they are all
no,
different
I think
houses.
He goes back. And number 2, he goes back.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh. Anyways, all right. Back to it.
Okay, big storm's coming. I love me a good storm.
I know, it was funny.
A good stormy night.
It's all of a sudden, they are only supposed to have 2 nights in the house. They decided we need 1 more.
Naturally.
And that 3rd night, a megastorm is coming through.
It looked beautiful, though.
It did. Megastorm.
It's
mega
me.
Storm.
It's me.
So they are, you know, getting ready for bed, you know, making sure that everything's up and running. And he's having issues with his camera equipment and the batteries. Everything keeps dying.
Oh, wait. Back up.
Oh, what?
He calls the local town.
Oh, yeah, we forgot this yeah, part. Minor
he
detail.
Calls, I think it was the city or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, to
and
get
he
newspaper.
Asks for the library. He asks for newspapers from like 1938 to 1942. He finds the story of uh-huh. the children going missing and who was accountable mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah.
That person was a woman named Mrs. Blackwell, mm-hmm. Ruth Blackwell. And she lived in this very house.
Yep. He, you know, took the newspaper article and did a little Photoshop, not like on it, but like did
just change the color.
It's called
so he
inverting.
Could...
It's like changing things that are white to black and black to white.
It was the same house.
And so that he could really see it. And it was the same house. And then next thing you know, he's back down in the basement opening
the hatch,
the well,
which and then he like gagged at the smell and Tex and I are both like, but wait, it was already propped open. He would have still smelled it.
Well, he would have still smelled it. But when he did that, he goes, that's where the smell's coming from. He said that.
Okay. So
he acknowledged
let
it smelled.
Out more.
Yeah. But when because it was only a crack. So then it was full open. That's just me like giving benefit of the
okay.
situation.
Okay.
And then he decides to put like a string down it to see how deep it goes. And he's like 60 feet. And then he's like, I better close this back up. And it's this heavy ass iron
lid. I didn't think
lid.
These well toppers were that heavy, but apparently.
Huge. I mean, yeah. It was taking all of his muscle to lift it back on and then it slams shut. And I feel like that was like a sign of this is not good.
No. And then the storm comes.
And then the storm comes. And then
it's 2:00 in the morning and the power goes out.
Yeah. And but as before we went to that, I was saying all of his batteries
oh,
dying
yeah.
on everything, which something Meg and I have dealt with numerous times whenever we do an investigation or
everything
go
dies.
Into a thing. Things die. And it is something that is a...
You could be as prepared as you want to be. You could have uh-huh. backup for everything and it's still going
to
die.
And it still happens to us. When we do a really fucked up episode, like if we do an episode on fucked up stuff, like...
Usually demons.
It is. It's honestly every time it's usually demons. Mm-hmm. We will have our equipment. Like
not
my
work.
Computer dies super fast. Like things will not work. Part of our recordings don't work. Like we'll have the weirdest shit go on. Mm-hmm. So, and then when we investigate stuff, like one of the cameras that he showed is one of the little cameras that I had. On our last investigation that died almost immediately. And I had charged it yeah. for hours.
Yeah.
And I've never had an issue with its battery before. And so, you know, just saying.
I like this. I like this show.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's you guys, this is worth watching. If you want to go watch it, it's really good.
The Blackwell Ghost
if
on
it's real,
Amazon.
If it's real, it's well done. If it's fake, it's well done.
Exactly.
Either way.
Are we entertained?
Oh,
are you not entertained?
She is entertained.
Okay.
We have also moved on to wine. So I'm always entertained with wine. Meg doesn't like to admit that she changed to a different alcohol.
Let's continue. This show's fucking awesome.
Well.
I love it.
I can see why Mr. Boo Boo had a bit of a fright.
Oh, where did we leave off? Power went off.
We're
heading downstairs.
Is that where we left off?
Yeah, power went off.
And he was going downstairs. And he keeps telling his wife, he's like, call the police if you don't.
So he goes, okay, I got to go get the breaker. The power's on across the street. So it's the house. Let me go flip the breaker. I don't want to do it. And she's like, do you want me to go do it? And he's like, no, I'm a man.
Yeah, I'm going to go do it. But he's like, but if I tell you to, call the police.
And she's like, why?
She's like, why?
She's like, why? And then he gets downstairs. He's like, just call the police. And she's like, but why?
But he never tells her why. Anyways, but so he walks out of their bedroom it's the top of the stairs,
a landing.
Yeah. And then there's a bathroom right there and he hears water trickling, goes in, and the bathtub and the faucet are on in there. He has an infrared camera so he can see everything.
Through the camera. Apparently, he can't see anything else because that comes into play later.
Yeah, which I didn't realize, but Mr. Boo Boo told me because I don't know. I'd never used an infrared camera. Anyways, so then he goes down the stairs, and I was expecting the door to the basement to be wide open.
Twas not.
And goes into the kitchen, and all the faucets.
Well, the bathroom downstairs, the faucet was on down there.
That one, and then.
In the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And then.
Turns all it all off.
Yep, and then he's like, okay, well, now I have to go down into the basement.
Tells his wife to call the police again.
Mm-hmm. Yells at her a lot. Call the police, but doesn't explain anything. But why? So then he opens the door to go down to the basement, and we're like, God damn it, this isn't good. Great suspense.
It's intense.
Uh-huh. So he gets down there. And
what do I say? I say, if that damn well cap is off.
That's what we're both like, what the fuck? So he flips the breaker and he yells at his wife, is it on? And she's like, no. And then he turns the camera over to where the well is.
I lost it.
What does he find, Megan?
At this point, remember how I said he didn't put the wrench back in to keep the top ajar?
Uh-huh.
The freaking wrench is there, and the ball.
The ball from the toilet paper is sitting on top of the well. And then he freaks the fuck
Excellent
out.
Excellent movie making, my friend. Uh-huh. Good job, Turner Clay.
Runs back upstairs into the kitchen where all of the cabinets are wide open.
All of them.
Everything's wide open.
Loses his shit.
Yep, tap is back on. And then goes into the living room, and the chandelier is swinging. So then he's like, fuck this. I'm out.
He runs back up. At this point, the power must have come back on because you see the camera at the landing is back on.
Yes.
The cameras had, allegedly, gone out when the power went out.
Yeah. But you also hear, like, footsteps chasing him.
Yeah.
And that's what, as he's running, you hear footsteps behind him. And he runs into the bedroom and slams the door and locks it. And there we are.
I love it.
Okay. Okay, well, the movie finished.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this. I hope all eight parts are as good as this.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is that you can definitely pick it apart, but like whether it's real or not, it is a well-done documentary slash like...
Super good. What is the point of all of this stuff? It's to entertain. This was freaking entertaining.
Oh, very entertaining.
I loved it. So at the very end... Because we talked about the ball on the thing, and he talking the next day, they're about to leave, and he's like, what do I do with this information? Because like what John, in the very beginning about the original footage that got him, his interest peaked into all this, he said, it doesn't matter if it's real or fake, people aren't going to believe footage of a ghost.
1,000%.
Whether or not it's real.
Which we know that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And so he's like, what do I do with this footage? Then at the end, they go back to the basement when he's kind of running out after he looks at the well cover.
Mm-hmm. When the ball's on top.
And he goes to the door, and then the camera pans back, and you see a human figure, all white, standing
there. Like a woman
went back through. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
Not like there was a mannequin down there or a refrigerator.
Right. I do appreciate the documentary does take it back to when he's setting up cameras down there and shows that behind him there was nothing there.
Now, could this have been staged? 100%.
Obviously. But it is respect. I appreciate the, film. Yeah, the attention, just part of it of him being like, whether it's real or not, like they're acknowledging that people are going to question that part. And they're saying, look, earlier there was nothing.
And what's the quote?
This is my favorite part. If you've listened to us, you know that I always say there are no such thing as coincidences. I always say that. And I strongly believe that. The quote at the end of the movie is, has a circle around the ghost lady standing there in the basement. It says, coincidence is the mind's way of making sense of what it can't believe is real.
And you said at one point, this basement reminds me of the basement at the Walker Ames house.
In Port Gamble.
First of all, I'm not scared of the Walker Ames house.
No.
We've investigated
a few times and it...
When you're in the basement...
I mean, you get the feels.
There is something
you feel
there.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, you can feel the energy, feel the vibes. And he says in this, and he talks about it multiple times, he's like, if you don't think this kind of thing is real, take yourself to a spot where you feel like something could be, turn the lights off, sit there, let your eyes adjust, and wait and see what happens. And
so I think we need to go back to the Walker Ames house.
Well, duh. I would love to go back. I would love to go
back.
I'll
email Paranormal Pete.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it is like, you know, obviously your senses in your brain is very powerful, can take over and make you think and believe things that you don't want to. But like I said, the basement of the Walker Ames house is where I specifically felt where it was like freezing cold in one spot and then not in the other. It was, I had so many things that happened down there. My friend's mom, who saw the video and like immediately was like, or no, it wasn't a video. It was a, we caught a audio thing. What do you call them? I can't remember.
EVP.
EVP. And was like, that sound, or that, it feel like it's a like little boy.
And I like, already and she described said, it. And, I already said, I feel like there's a little boy down
yeah,
there.
Yeah. And, but it was wild that like my friend's mom was, she literally was like, he was saying like, she's like, I feel like he's afraid because so many people are so mean to him. Like it was, she described exactly what this house was without, she didn't know anything about it. I didn't say where we had investigated. She just was in the room when I was talking to my friend about it. And she like picked up on it from listening and she's very gifted, but it was wild. Anyways.
So I think this means we have to go on to part two.
Yeah. So.
So this is the Blackwell House on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm, on Amazon Prime. And there's a lots of parts.
10 out of 10, especially during spooky season, please watch it.
Yeah, sit it down is, and on a dark October night, turn this shit on.
Stormy night.
And in
get
the light.
Yourself a glass of red wine and a charcuterie board.
Oh, or a lunatic soup, because that's what we're
or
about.
Lunatic soup.
Obviously, but also, did we
and
accidentally?
Charcuterie. That's what
and
it is.
Charcuterie.
I know.
I mean, get yourself anything that you will enjoy and do it.
Enjoy.
And then do it. All right. Well,
if you have a documentary that you think we should cover, please email us at lunaticsoup@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on the socials.
Lunatic Soup Podcast. Lunatic Soup Podcast.
Tell people to email us the wrong place, Megan. And if you follow us on the socials, you know, or find us there, Lunatic Soup Podcast, we're everywhere. On all the things. You
all the things.
Google Lunatic Soup Podcast. It's us.
It's us. Give
also,
us a
Google Lunatic
it's
Soup.
Us.
I think we are the first thing that comes up
we
for
are
Lunatic
the first
Soup.
Thing that comes up.
Which is kind of exciting. Because lunatic soup is a fun, it's a slang word for like a lot of booze. A lot of booze. In Australia, it's a mixture of booze.
Isn't that called jungle juice?
Yeah, but or a pink panty dropper at the frat houses.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Really?
My sorority days. Yeah. You'd go to a frat party and they're serving pink panty droppers because it means it's like every kind of booze, like Everclear, vodka. It'd usually be like all clear alcohols. With like
all,
pink
all
lemonade and a bunch of stuff.
Into a soup, if you will.
Into a soup, if you will.
Oh, man.
And that was, it was called pink panty droppers because it would make the girls so
drunk. Don't
like
they that.
Would go home with a frat boy.
Oh.
I never
oh,
did
boy.
That. Oh, boy. What? Thank you for tuning in. We will.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a lunatic soup.
And remember, in this crazy world,
it is good to be a lunatic.
Go watch The Blackwell Ghost.
Do it.
Bye.